safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Oh, I am so glad that you are here tonight to cap off Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Thank you for joining us for Cradle My Heart Radio. I hope that it was a joyous time for you with family and friends, and that it was everything that your expectations were and more. I hope that you had a chance to go and worship the Lord today and maybe get excited about the Advent season starting and the arrival of December. It's kind of a sweet day today here this Sunday evening, and I'm glad that you are here to share it with us. Part of my holiday weekend with the family was to go and see Disney's Frozen, which is the adaptation of the Hans Christian Andersen fable, The Snow Queen, loose adaptation. Andersen's fairy tale is actually much darker than the Disney movie. But if you have read the reviews, if you didn't get a chance to see it yet, two princesses at play, here's the storyline, are enjoying Princess Elsa's power to create snow and ice when she accidentally hurts her sister Anna while they're playing in the snow. And as a result, her parents overreact and put her in isolation, trying to contain that power because they fear that she will hurt others inadvertently. And soon she's ostracized by everyone to keep her from hurting anybody. And as I was reflecting on this movie on my way in to talk with you tonight, I realized that, you know, this a little bit, it's a really handy metaphor for what happens to us as women after abortion. I think so many of us stumbled into abortion, not really realizing that what we were about to do was an exercise of great power, that an exercise of great destructive power. And our reaction oftentimes afterwards was to say, I'm going to isolate that power. I'm not ever going to allow it to be exercised to hurt anyone ever again. But the result, just like in the fairy tale, is isolation and feeling ostracized. And I won't give away the ending if you haven't seen the movie yet. But overcoming fear, just as God's Word tells us that when perfect love drives out fear, then God really has come. Then Emmanuel really has come to live with us. And it's my prayer that as we talk about tonight, the National Memorial for the Unborn, that some of the fear that you may have had about sharing the truth about what happened when you exercised that choice and that destructive power, I don't know the circumstances of your abortion. I'm more than willing to share what happened in my life, and I'm only able to do that by the healing power of God's love through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit living in me. I'm more than happy to share that, but it's my hope that as we have the conversation tonight with our guest, that your fear will begin to recede and that you'll see that there is a better answer for overcoming that destructive power in the way that it was exercised. There's a much better answer. There's a much healthier response, and one that will leave you free and healed and well and able to comfort others. And if it seems like that's an impossibility right now, well, that's, I guess, what the Christmas story is all about. An impossibility when it was foretold. No one can see a dream before it's been realized. But it has come true in my life that impossibility has been made not only possible but real in me, and I pray that it will be for you as well. Tonight we're going to talk with Kristen Smith, who's on the board of directors of the National Memorial for the Unborn in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And in 1993, Chattanooga became the only mid-sized city in America to close the doors of its neighborhood abortion clinic. 3 years later, the National Memorial for the Unborn was begun to offer peace to post-abortive parents and to remember babies who've been lost to abortion and to offer the hope of salvation. Kristen Smith, thank you for joining us and welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio tonight.
Oh, thank you, Kim. I appreciate the opportunity.
And so you're serving on the board of directors, and tell me how long you have been a part of the National Memorial and how you got involved.
Well, I actually got involved with the National Memorial for the Unborn through working at Choices Pregnancy Resource Center, which is right next door to the memorial. We kind of share the same grounds, if you will. And so through that and my work with the clients that were coming into the pregnancy center, I was more familiar with the memorial and what they had to offer our clients that even chose abortion if they did not choose life for their child. And I was able to use the memorial as an opportunity for them to see, even prior to their decision, the other side of abortion that they don't always hear about. We were able to use the National Memorial as a tool for them, and even if they did choose abortion, we were able to send them there to find some healing after that decision. And through that exposure, just got familiar with the memorial and joined the board about 2.5 years ago. It's been a wild ride, I got to tell you that. It's been wild.
Well, I want to give you the opportunity to share some stories because first of all, let's describe what the memorial looks like. I had a chance to visit it, and I guess I was a little bit surprised at the physical presence of the place. So just draw the picture for us and describe what it looks like when you visit in Chattanooga.
Well, it's very unassuming, I think, when you first pull up. You're expecting to see something, but it's really quite serene and quiet back where it's private. When you pull into the parking lot and you see these gates that open up into this memorial, and there's an outside area that has a few sculptures and whatnot through there. Outside we have a brick paver memorial garden for those that have lost children through miscarriage. And it's these little brick pavers just line a path on the way back to a gazebo, and there's a little, we call it our pool of tears, and it's just a very serene little pool that commemorates the lives of these miscarried babies, and it's very peaceful outside. And then as you go back through there, there is the indoor memorial, which is a 50-foot granite wall. It's black. And it is directly behind a very large cross in the center of this room. And on the 50-foot granite wall there, we have over 2,500 nameplates from around the world, just all over, all different stories. Some of them are single plates. Some of them go together. Some people have had several abortions and wanted their plates together. Each plate has a story, and it's at the base of the wall, there is a little ledge that people can come and place items at the wall, teddy bears, baseball gloves, little cars, letters, candles, anything that was special to them that they feel is something they would want to bring and leave in remembrance of their child, they can leave there. And it's just such a special place. It's so quiet, and I've never seen such power. When someone walks in the memorial, the lights are motion sensors, so they will come on at night, and automatically, it doesn't matter if we have a crowd of school children, they automatically it's just so solemn in there. You just feel the presence of the Lord, and what was a place that just was such horror has now become such a place of healing and hope and peace. There's nothing like it. We always say that you don't visit the memorial. You have to experience the memorial.
Kristen Duke-Smith is our guest tonight, and our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003, 800-811-3003. If you have a question about how to memorialize your child lost to abortion or to miscarriage, or if you'd just like to weigh in and say hello and share a comment, 800-811-3003 is our number. You said how many plaques are there, Kristen?
Right now we have over 2,500. in recent years, well, in the past year, and I really, you know, Kim, I can't explain it. All I can say is it's God. We have had a huge influx of plate orders from all over the world. We have been so busy putting these plates on the wall to memorialize these little lives. It's just, it's been such an honor. But I'm actually right now, I'm actually looking at a plate from Australia, from a sweet couple in Australia that they felt, I think their parents pressured them into having an abortion, and they contacted us through Facebook, I believe, off our Facebook group page, and we were able to guide them in how to memorialize their child and help bring them a little hope, because they are just not in an area where there's anything available to them in their country where they are. So it just meant so much to them to be able to have a place to give their child significance and dignity, and to just give them an opportunity to say that their child mattered.
Hmm. Our guest is Kristen Duke Smith of the National Memorial for the Unborn, and we're going to hear some of these stories about who is memorializing their child and in what ways. And we welcome you to join the conversation too at 800-811-3003. Short break, and then we'll continue here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. To Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Join the conversation. Call toll free 800-811-3003.
Tonight we're talking about the National Memorial for the Unborn, which is in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's one of several sites, and there are affiliates that are located around the country. There is a memorial garden in North Carolina, and also one in Ellenburg, Washington, Jacksonville, Florida, Burlington, New Jersey. You can learn about all of the affiliate sites and whether there's one near you or where the closest to you is when you go to cradlemyheart.org and follow the links to our story on the National Memorial for the Unborn. Tonight we're talking with a board member, Kristen Duke Smith, who is also a volunteer at a local pregnancy resource center. And Kristen, you're a firefighter too. You're a full-time firefighter.
Yes, and I am.
You know, it's interesting that there's a connection there to helping people in crisis, literally doing life-saving work, and the work that you do not only in the Pregnancy Resource Center but at the memorial. Talk about that just a little bit, about the thread that runs through your volunteer work as well as your vocation.
Yes, that's so funny you mentioned that. I feel like, oh, probably about 10 years ago, the Lord was just placing on my heart to pursue a degree in counseling and Christian counseling, and I just kept asking him, Why am I here? Why am I in the fire department? This makes no sense to me, Lord. Am I in the right place in my life? Am I doing what you want me to do? And he so gently reminded me that this is, working in the fire department was training. It's training for the skills that I'll need with those that are facing crisis. Unfortunately, my job, anytime as a firefighter we get called out, somebody's having a bad day. And so, in a nutshell, my job is ultimately to make somebody's bad day better. And there's just such a thread, like what you said, through that in working at the pregnancy center and working with the memorial, that anyone that comes here, they're in crisis, whether they're in crisis because they have found out about a crisis pregnancy, or through the memorial, if they've experienced abortion, that's a crisis all on its own. And for someone to be able to help them walk through the crisis, that can be that steady friend that can just hold their hand and walk through it with them. I just feel like God has just really had his hands in that, and I'm so blessed to have those skills, to have had that opportunity. It's kind of rare, I think.
Yes, and definitely rare for you as a woman who's a firefighter. I mean, that's probably another conversation, Kristen. But I appreciate your public service. And
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Putting yourself in harm's way for the good of others. And you know, as we're talking about the work that you're doing at the National Memorial for the Unborn, if you want to read some of the stories from the memorial, there is a book by Wendy Williams and Ann Caldwell. It's called Empty Arms: More Than 60 Life-Giving Stories of Hope from the Devastation of Abortion. And if I may, Kristen, I just want to read one of these stories because this really was eye-opening to me. It gives a different perspective about the impact of abortion on families. And the plaque is simply to Nicholas with the date April 20th, 1995, and it's signed Heaven's Treasure, Gran. The story reads, on April 20th, 1995, my son's girlfriend's mother called me demanding money for her daughter's abortion. So my son's girlfriend's mother called me demanding money for her daughter's abortion. So since her daughter was only 15, she threatened to have my boy locked up for statutory rape. Well, our son loved this young girl and was completely torn apart by the devastating circumstances, and I told the girl's mother that I would never pay to have my grandchild murdered. She refused to allow me to speak to the girl and insisted that it was her daughter's choice. After the abortion that evening, my son called to say he would be staying with his girlfriend. He had sold something valuable to pay his half. The 15-week-old boy, baby was a boy. My son was soon headed on a collision course with self-destruction. My suffering over this was great, but it was nothing compared to his. We have suffered through these past few years with him, and he seems to think that he needs to be punished. Now my son understands what happened to his baby during the abortion procedure. I am able to share my pain with my best friends and family, but his friends are so young that none of them have ever experienced any trauma. They cannot begin to help him through it. My two best friends came with me to visit the National Memorial for the Unborn recently, and we spent more than an hour reading the names of the babies remembered on the wall. We cried, prayed, and mourned for those little ones, the pain they suffered in death, and for the pain and suffering of those left behind. Grandparents are deeply affected by abortions, she writes, and their stories need to be told. Abortion does not strike the parents alone, although I'm sure their pain is greater. Our loss as grandparents is no less deeply felt and needs to be expressed, experienced, and put to rest. And it's signed Patty Stewart, and there is an inclusion of scripture from Psalm 71, verses 18 and 19, which reads, "Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, you who have done great things. Who, O God, is like you?" Comment on this, if you will. Let's talk about this a little bit, Kristen. The scope of those who are coming to the National Memorial for the Unborn for care and comfort.
Yes, this, oftentimes I feel like people think that the memorial is for mothers that have experienced abortion, and though that is an extremely traumatic loss for any mother, it's also an extremely traumatic loss for the fathers, for the grandparents, for aunts and uncles, for the college roommate that took them to the clinic. Recently we've started seeing an influx of crisis pregnancy care resource center workers, volunteers, coming to memorialize children that perhaps they had a client come to their center, and they worked closely with this client, and eventually the client unfortunately chose abortion, but the volunteer already felt attached to that child, and they've questioned, why would God even allow that? Why would God allow me to meet this person if, in the end, he knew that that person was going to have an abortion? Why am I dealing with so much pain here? And to be able to let them know that, you know, maybe God chose them to be the one person that would be able to give that child a voice, and to be able to give them a memory and dignity and say, you mattered. You mattered, even if at this very moment it doesn't seem like their life mattered to anyone else in the world, they mattered. And so the wall is so important to those that are experiencing the hurt of abortion. It's so far-reaching. We just recently, probably about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, had a memorial service for just one of the sweetest women I've ever met. And she and her husband came, And she also brought her 15-year-old daughter. It was the most tender memorial service I think I've been to in a long time with them. Her daughter wanted to be a part of this memorial service for the baby that her mom had lost to abortion. And this young woman stood up and read the most precious letter that she had written to her baby brother that she never knew. And you watch the tears of the brothers and sisters, the siblings that never got to be. Abortion it affects so many more people than just the mother or even just the father. It's so far reaching, so far reaching.
800-811-3003 is our number, 800-811-3003. We are on Facebook, too. Go to facebook.com/cradlemyheart. You'll see there that we have a great resource that we'll be giving away coming up a little bit later this month, but now is the time for you to go ahead and try to enter to win the new Bible called Hope in the Morning by Zondervan. I was very blessed and honored to be asked to write some of the devotions in this. And this Bible offers inspiration and hope for those who grieve. And we know, so go to facebook.com/cradlemyheart. You'll see the details about how to win a copy of Zondervan's Hope in the Morning Bible. We know that siblings of those aborted grieve. We've had guests on talking about that. We've heard from grieving grandparents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kristen, if someone is not able to make a trip to Chattanooga, talk about how they might be involved with the National Memorial for the Unborn from right where they're listening tonight.
Oh, of course. That's actually not as common as you would think for them to be able to make a trip. That's a big trip to make. So what we can do, we offer, of course, we can place the plate on the wall for you. They can still choose approximately where on the wall they would like their plate to go. When a person orders a plate, what they will do is they will have written on it whatever they want on the plate. And we have certain regulations as to how many, you know, letters per line and such, but they will write whatever they feel that the Lord has prompted them to put on the plate. And then we actually get the plates in orders of three. So we will take the original and put it on the wall, but the other two duplicates are sent to the person that ordered the plate. So with those two duplicates, we can help them. If they are not able to come here for memorial service, that's not a problem. We will walk them through how to do that at their own convenience. If they would like to do it in their home, if they would like their pastor to be involved, if they just, you know, something special that would help them remember or to be able to memorialize their child if they couldn't make it here to the memorial. If they think that eventually they could make it, we will hold the plate until they are there to be present for placement. We do that a lot. We have a lot of people that make trips from Texas. We just had some from Texas and Ohio, New York, Kentucky, California, all over. They will fly all over to make it happen, but sometimes you're just not able to, and that's okay. We'll still help you walk through and help make those maybe some suggestions on how to memorialize your child just in a very special way it's just helpful to them to find that healing.
Sure. Kristen Duke-Smith of the National Memorial for the Unborn is our guest tonight, and it's time for a break. We're taking phone calls. The phones are open. We'd love to have your voice in the conversation at 1-800-811-3003 and referencing the grief that's siblings go through after an abortion. I wanted to give you the website of one of our former guests, and it's survivingsibling.wordpress.com. Surviving Sibling is a blog as well as a Facebook group and other resources for those who are hurt by the knowledge that a sibling or a half-sibling was lost to abortion. Stay with us. I'm Kim Katola. Our guest tonight is Kristen Duke-Smith of the National Memorial for the Unborn, and you're listening to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Please do join us. I would love to give you a chance to talk about whether or not you have had a memorial for a child lost to abortion. I have. I have not purchased a plaque at the National Memorial for the Unborn, but it's something I would like to do, and I am considering doing and praying about doing. And I do recommend that you take some tangible and positive step to give honor and dignity to the memory of that lost child. And it can be a simple gesture. It can be something that is more formal. There are as many ways and varieties of honoring our children as there are individuals who have experienced this, all 55 million plus of us. But I think that the universal need that we share is to stand against the lie that it was not a child, that it was nothing, or that it was simply a potential life and that nothing wrong was done. And Kristen, I want to talk about this just a little bit. There's been an effort, and I see it in the media, and it's been amazing how effective it has been in its own way, trying to end the stigma of abortion by having women tell abortion stories that are very different from the stories we hear in the Silent No More campaign or from voices such as mine telling the truth about what has been lost and about the hope that we have found in the midst of coming to grips with that loss. But no, these new stories that are coming out are unapologetic, unashamed, and are seeking to end the stigma. And they're saying, gee, the only problem with abortion is that there is a stigma and that it's judgment and that this is the problem. And as you have observed people coming to the memorial and as you have observed the process of grief in action and grief resolved and hope dawning, do you think that that rings true, that really the problem here is just judgment and stigma of others? Or is this truly a deep need of our hearts that cannot be resolved short of finding our answers in faith?
I'm so glad you asked that, Kim. Thank you. I have noticed the same thing lately, and it just breaks my heart. That has not been my experience at the memorial. The men and women that are coming here are broken. It is not something that they stand up proudly and say, I had an abortion and you can too. It's their hope and prayer by having a plate on the wall, not only to give dignity to their child, but it's also to help someone else that may be considering that option and letting them know, listen, the other side of this is a horrible road that you would never, never want to walk through, and no one tells you this part. No one tells you this part when you're pregnant and you're scared and they offer you a quote-unquote easy way out. They don't tell you about the nightmares. They don't tell you about seeing other children that would have been the same age as your child and having to deal with that. They don't tell you about the anniversary dates and how gut-wrenching that can be. They don't talk about those things. And for these brave men and women that have come forward in the memorial and put their plates out for the public to read. Of course, it's very private, and there's no names attached to the plates, but as you've seen when you walk in and you read these, you just feel their pain. You feel their pain, and like I mentioned before, if we have a client here at Choices Pregnancy Resource Center that's open to walking through the memorial, we don't say a word. The wall speaks for itself. The letters, the teddy bears at the wall, the little Hot Wheels cars that they leave, all these things just speak so clearly of a life lost and a mother and a father's grief and the pain that they went through, the regrets that they feel, the healing that some have found. I tell you, there was a letter I just found the other day on the wall that was actually a receipt from an abortion center, an abortion clinic in, I believe it was around Atlanta, and the person that wrote the letter, I was actually shocked. It was a young woman had found out she was pregnant from a previous boyfriend, but she had already started a relationship with another young man, and this young man was afraid that she would leave him and return to the baby's father, and so he offered to pay for an abortion for her, and she took him up on the offer. He is the one that came to the memorial to memorialize that child. He is the one that is writing the apology letters and getting the plates to memorialize the child. He's the one that's dealing with the grief and the regret, and it wasn't even his child. It's just these stories of that it's just a stigma out there, and you know, abortion, it's really not that big a deal. It's just a lie. It's just a lie.
Kristen, I appreciate your first statement that, you know, when you see these people coming, they're broken.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think about, for someone listening tonight, you know, I'm post-abortive. Kristen, I don't know your story. I know you've been involved in pregnancy resource work for a long time and at the memorial. So you have, you know, firsthand knowledge of our stories. But, mm-hmm. you know, the idea that... you would want to give honor and dignity to a child that you have lost, so rises above the idea of stigma. I mean, I experienced shame after abortion. And I'll tell you, listening tonight, if this is new information to you, that, you know, by God's grace, when I was finally able to accept the truth that my heart had known all along, that yes, indeed, this was a child, that something very precious had been lost to me, that there was a reason for my shame because I had so deeply transgressed. This is the beginning. This is where hope is born.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to avoid that. Oh, I avoided that for 23 years. Mm-hmm. Because you feel like if you acknowledge the depth of what you have done wrong, that you will be consumed by it as you feel you deserve to be, because you know you've had at least a hand in, you know, destroying a life.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage you, if you're there tonight saying, I know this in my heart, but I can't admit it, or I can't ever say it out loud, or I can't ever be free of it. You know, it's embracing this reality of the child that starts the cycle of hope, because God has made provision for the child in heaven, and God has also made provision for our guilt.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we stay trapped in the lie that that the shame is, you know, continues to be the overriding emotion that we feel. And I think that you cannot simply wave away shame by talking about stigma,
right?
You know, by regarding it as something that is a taboo that shouldn't be, simply because it's become commonplace. You know, that's the rationale
for
this new move, is to say, well, so, you know, it's one in three women has had one, and so it's a very common procedure, which is an interesting thing to me. You know, the abortion lobby, abortion proponents, you know, have argued for a long time that abortion should be legal and rare, safe, legal and rare.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're switching tactics and saying, you know what, why not? Why shouldn't everyone acknowledge having had one, since it's such a common procedure and it's just a medical procedure? And one, indeed, the way they're couching it, too, is that women need this for their own well-being.
Right.
And, you know, to reject that way of thinking, and to really take on the new mindset that repentance gives us, you know, that godly sorrow leads us to repentance and a new way of thinking about it, mm-hmm. that's where the hope begins.
Yes, I agree. That's beautiful.
Kristen Smith is our guest. She's a board member at the National Memorial for the Unborn. And we have a couple of more minutes before our next break. If you want to join us at 800-811-3003, maybe you have a question or a comment. Maybe you want to share your story of how you have memorialized your lost child. Please join us, 800-811-3003. Kristen, share with us some of the other things that you've observed at the wall at the National Memorial.
One thing, and I don't know, Kim, if you've seen this. I'm hoping and praying that you have seen this in recent years, but it's been my experience that I have noticed the local church has been much more compassionate towards the post-abortive woman. I've noticed that in our services that pastors and Sunday school classes and women's groups, and they're just enveloping the woman that has experienced an abortion and coming up under her and saying, listen, we might not completely understand what you've been through, but we are here standing alongside of you, helping you through this. I have noticed a huge change. Even when it comes to, we have, every year we, of course, we have a very large memorial service on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday in January, and we've noticed just a tremendous influx of people wanting to come and memorialize the children, whether they've lost one to an abortion or not. It's affected all of us, and it is not, just like what you were saying, it is so prevalent in the United States now that you can guarantee when you're sitting in church, you're looking at a man or a woman that's experiencing that pain, and for them to have to sit there in a silent shame is just not our calling as a Christian brother and sister at all. It's almost a privilege. It's a sacred trust that God has given to us to be able to come alongside them and mourn their children with them. So that's definitely another aspect of the memorial that I've seen changing recently. I've seen that the difference in the one that may be strongly pro-life, and although the memorial is fiercely pro-life, we will always step forward with compassion. We will always meet them where they're at, and we're here with you. We're not here against you. We're not here to judge you. We're here with you. We're going to walk you through it, and that just changes. It just changes a person's heart to be able to find healing when they see that compassion. They feel it.
Kristen, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being with us. And give us some more details about the event that's happening for Sanctity of Life Sunday in January.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. We have, this year is extremely exciting. We have on January 19th, we are going to be having our annual Sanctity of Human Life Sunday service, memorial service. And like I said, that is not just for those who have experienced abortion. It's for anyone and everyone that wants to come and join us in memorializing these children and giving God the glory for a place of healing and hope. Now, this year is especially exciting because it marks our 20-year anniversary of the year that the abortion clinic was torn down and we built the memorial on top of it. So we are definitely going to be having quite a celebration this year, and anyone and everyone is welcome to come. The service will start at 2 p.m., and after that, we'll probably have some a reception to follow. We would welcome anyone to come, and if it's important to you for us to memorialize your child, we would love for you to send us letters, teddy bears, anything that you can think of, and we would be so honored to be able to place them at the wall that day in memory of your child. If you can't make it, we would just be, oh, that would be such a privilege for us. And they can always contact us on our website at memorialfortheunborn.org and call our 800 number. There's contacts on our website.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight, and thank you for the work that you do at the National Memorial for the Unborn.
Oh, thank you, Ken. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about it.
Kristen Duke-Smith is our guest. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be back. Stay with us. Phones are open tonight, 800-811-3003.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
I hope you have a chance to go to cradlemyheart.org, because you will see there the cover image of the New Hope in the Morning Bible from Zondervan, which offers inspiration and hope for those who grieve. And boy, if you know somebody who's experiencing grief this holiday season, this is a very thoughtful and helpful gift. I was honored to write some of the devotions on child loss, but other devotional topics from this Bible include dealing with suicide or the death of a parent, experiencing trauma, even the pain of relocating to a foreign country, and more. There are many materials within the Bible from Grief Share, which is a powerful ministry helping grieving people through small groups and churches everywhere. And the contributing writers speak comfort with the comfort with which we have been comforted. I'm acquainted with a number of them, and I can vouch for the true hope that you will find in this volume. And so we're going to listen to a song that has a sweet application to tonight's topic of the value of each child's life. And as we do this, I want to open the phones and ask you to share a resource, a book, a movie, a song that has provided you with hope, not necessarily after abortion, but just something that you would recommend to others that has really helped you and inspired you to have hope. And if you're willing to go to cradlemyheart.org and look at the blog post there about the Hope in the Morning Bible, leave a comment on the blog. We'll enter your name in a drawing and give away a copy of the Bible a little bit later this month. Same thing if you call tonight. We'll take your name and enter you in the drawing. So call us as we listen to A Baby Changes Everything. Phones are open at 800-811-3003.
And she cried.
That's the Heggies with A Baby Changes Everything. And I don't know if it's occurred to you before how the Christmas story really mirrors the whole issue of an unintended pregnancy or an unplanned pregnancy or a surprise, impossible circumstances. But the song says it so well, and it's such a beautiful twist, just starting with the idea of a teenage girl without a ring. And, you know, those circumstances haven't changed through the years, but our response and our answer to those circumstances makes all the difference in the world. And I pray that even if you are not feeling that you have the strength or you're not ready or you can't see the value of making a memorial if you have an abortion in your past, I pray that you would become a living memorial, that you would have an attitude of heart that would say to anyone facing a circumstance, let me help you. There are pregnancy resource centers. There are church resources. We always have the ability to choose life, because when God gives us that direction, He equips us and empowers us to be able to do it. Just to be able to say that is a memorial to what has been lost. And I pray that God will work in your heart so that you'll be able to see it and say it, and that you will find a way to begin this journey of hope that I am on. I'm so glad that you're walking with us here at Cradle My Heart Radio. Please join us next week. We're going to be blessed to bring you a conversation with Jennifer Camp. And Jennifer loves women and loves creating community, finding a safe place for us to be ourselves and share our stories, and more than that, to really embrace and realize our true identity in Jesus Christ. Jennifer has a story of her own teen pregnancy that I know will bless your heart, so I hope that you can plan now to be here and to be part of it. And do go to cradlemyheart.org and simply leave a comment about a helpful resource that has inspired you to new hope. And it can be anything. It could be a poem, a book, a movie, a song, a YouTube video, a conversation you had with a friend. What has inspired you to hope? Leave a comment about that, and we'll enter your name into a drawing for the Hope in the Morning Bible, new from Zondervan, for which I'm a contributor. Also, if you have not yet picked up your copy of Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion, you'll find information about how to purchase that on the website, too. Thank you so much for being here. Join us next week, and remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.